Well, March in Wisconsin, at least, and probably pretty much everywhere else, we'll find out here in a minute, it's lambing time. And lambing is the name for birthing new lambs, of course. And a good friend of mine and my co-host on Calling All Pets, Patricia McConnell, has some lambs and some sheep, and she's going through that process pretty much right now, as is one of our guests, Ray Antonovich, who with his wife Alice owns AZ Farm in Oregon, Wisconsin. We've got a website, azfarm.com, and a-zfarm.com. You got to remember that hyphen in there. He's one of our guests. The other is Celia Lamper, who is a spinner. She's a drop spindle wool spinner. She's from Stoughton, Wisconsin. And so we're going to talk with them about spinning wool. We'll talk about sheep. We'll talk about raising lambs. AZ Farms has some great events coming up. I've been a chance to visit for several years now during lambing season. We've had a lot of fun with that. So we're going to talk about that as well with them. So questions in all of those areas are most welcome. And you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Celia, welcome. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you very much.
And Ray Antonovich, good to have you back.
Good morning. Enjoy being here again.
It's always nice to have you here. Why is March the lambing, traditionally the lambing season?
Well, we can adjust that somewhat, but for us, as far as our programs and the operation of our farm, the March lambing does work out the best for us. For what we want to do as far as providing some educational experience to the people or for the people. Mm-hmm. And if we have it earlier, if we have a winter that's not like the one that hopefully we're ending, it's a little too early yet. Mm-hmm. And if we go a little bit later, it's a little too late. People have other things they would like to do. Mm-hmm. And then this also works out great as far as our pastures. Usually we can have the sheep out on pastures by the 1st of May. And the lambs are old enough then, big enough that they can consume a lot of that good fresh grass. And so that is why we lamb, say, starting the 1st of March.
And that makes a lot of sense, I guess, probably for a lot of farmers.
Oh, yes, it does. If we were going to be showing, then we would probably be lambing in January. And then we want to have a big lamb for showing and so forth. And then it's also rather cold in January normally. And from experience, that's not the most enjoyable time as far as lambing. If we get later, then some people do it. They have lambs born out on pasture, and this is fine. But for our program, March works out the best.
Yeah, it seems to make a whole lot of sense to me. And typically, in that time period for a lot of farms, there's activity. There's always work to do, but it's probably a little easier time if you're going to do it then.
Right, that's true. So it's a combination of factors here.
How many sheep do you have out there?
We have 100 ewes.
100 ewes?
Well, we would really like to have at least 200 lambs out of them. And we're kind of heading there. We've had 7 sets of triplets so far.
Wow.
And we're just kind of really getting into it. We're less than, probably about a fourth of the way through.
About a fourth of the way through, and you've got some big events coming up the next several Sundays, if I'm
not mistaken. Yes, starting, the last 3 Sundays of March, which is the 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th of March, we'll have the Lamb Birthing Barn, we call it, where people can come in, and then they can see the lambs. Hopefully, we can't guarantee it, but see a lamb or lambs born, but we do have other animals also. We do have chicks, little chicks, little ducklings, and then the laying flock of hens. We have turkeys, and we have rabbits. Then we do have pigs. Mm-hmm. We've got several pigs there that we'll be raising up, something that a lot of people don't usually see. But then For those events, those three Sundays, we will also have some dairy calves in and some kid goats. So it's going to be a lot of things to see, and we'll have some educational displays up going on, and some people doing their skills, such as Celia here, with the different types of spinning, yarn, making the yarn, and then there will be knitters and also a spinner and one person doing the felting using the wool.
Well, so there's lots to do. And Celia, I'll turn to you. How did you get involved in spinning?
I was a 4-H-er.
Ah.
My mother was a leader, and I was the little kid who wasn't old enough yet.
Yeah.
And one of the projects that I heard about was that the big girls got to learn to spin. And they did that by making their own spindle, which involved taking a pencil and pushing it through a potato and spinning, which I thought was fascinating. And eventually I did witness spinning on spinning wheels. And ultimately, while waiting for my son, I took a spinning course at the weaving workshop in Madison, which unfortunately is gone.
Mm.
But there are other classes available. And eventually got interested in hand spindles because publications started featuring them. People were making them, and they became just fascination of mine. And the skill of spinning is easily transferable from a spinning wheel to a hand spindle.
Mm-hmm.
And the advantage of the hand spindle is it's so portable.
Yeah,
you can take it anywhere. It's silent. You can do it in church if you like. Mm-hmm. I do it in meetings. And I have a technique that allows me to do it sitting anywhere, in the car.
So you can
as
do
well as walking around.
So now their hand is that it, drop spindle or hand spindle, is that the same thing?
Well, all spindles are hand spindles. Some of them hang from the yarn.
Okay.
And that makes them a drop spindle. There are complications to using that because you have to unhook it every time you have to wind on the yarn. My technique doesn't involve any unhooking. It's called a supported spindle.
She's working on that right now.
It rests in a little cup, actually a shot glass.
Mm-hmm.
And when I want to wind on, I can do this.
What can you produce with by hand? Can you do a lot with that?
Yes. This is a 2-ounce skein of yarn,
mm-hmm.
which was 1 hour's production using this spindle.
Mm-hmm.
And this was only partially full. But that is enough yarn to make a sock,
mm-hmm.
or a hat, or a mitten.
Okay, and you spent how much time was that? You spent on
1 hour.
About 1 hour.
Mm-hmm. At a show at Ray's.
So how many people do this?
Lots of people spin, and the fiber arts are really exploding. Many people spin in order to knit something they're going to felt. That's one connection to the felting. It's very popular to knit, of course, the small items like hats, socks, mittens, scarves. And the hand spindles are ideal for that because you don't have to produce so much yarn.
Yeah.
It takes about a pound of yarn to make a full-size sweater, but a hat or mittens or scarf we're talking about a few ounces.
Yeah. Well, we've got plenty to talk about yet. If you'd like to join in, by the way, if you have a question about lambing or about AZ Farms or about spinning, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'd be happy to get you on with your question or with your comments. Just to go back to the spinning for a minute, and just to describe to people what you've got, what you start with is what?
We start with fleece that is washed and combed. That process is called scouring for the washing, or and carding for the combing. And these are things that you can do at home. You can
mm-hmm.
use a dog brush to comb the wool,
mm-hmm.
or you can have the authentic cards. You can spin dog hair, Samoyed. You can spin wool. Angora comes from rabbits. Mohair comes from a goat.
Mm-hmm.
There are synthetic products that can be spun. Mm-hmm. Many of these things can be dyed beautifully. You can spin cotton. And one of the things we do in schools is to let kids spin the cotton from a pill bottle,
mm-hmm.
and then spin some wool. And the wool spins much more easily and more nicely.
I would think it would.
The spindle simply is a shaft that has a ballast on it of some sort that balances the spin and also keeps it spinning. It takes mm-hmm. a little weight.
Yeah.
And the ballast can be at the top or the bottom, depending on your process. They can be quite artistic or they can be quite plain. Mine is quite simple. And that's how I can do it and create them inexpensively.
Well, it's a wonderful process, and I should have Jim Packard's Jim Cam on so we could show that on our website. It'd be a lot of fun that he uses for what do you know? But I tell you what, we've got callers online, and David, we'll get to you in just a minute or two here. Ray Antonovich and Celia Lamper, our guests, as we talk with them about lambs and wool and spinning and AZ Farms here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you want to have a kind of a fun family event, one place to go on March 16th or 23rd or 30th is to Ray and Alice Antonovich's AZ Farm to see the lambs being born and to just see, you know, maybe you won't see a lamb being born, but we've been lucky every year we've been out there. We've seen a lamb born. But you'll have a chance to see a lot of lambs, get your photos, picture taken with some lambs, watch Celia Lamper, who's one of our other guests today, do some spinning, wool spinning. It's just a lot of fun, and we're talking with them about lambing and about the sheep and the sheep industry and the lamb industry. So give us a call if you have some questions. I'll tell you what, the number 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. I should mention that the admission is $3.50 per person. Kids under two are free. So got to get that in there, too. Dave and Marion's been waiting, so let's go to Dave. Hi, Dave. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just had a question. I know it's a little bit hard to answer, but I was wondering what it might take, how many ewes to be a standalone commercial unit to support an individual and the land around it.
Okay, so one person and the land. Okay.
Okay.
That's a tough one, Ray.
That really is. I mean, we could probably come up with some academia answer, but in actuality, the number is going to be a real big factor. If we consider everything, the price of our land and so forth, this can be pretty rough. And if we want that as our sole source of income, we're going to have to go into the hundreds. And then also with just a basic sheep operation, there are a lot of value-added aspects that many people don't look at. And I think with a family or a couple, these different things, in addition to raising a lamb, we cannot make it on the price of wool. The wool market is not that great. It is improving. But we have to have a good quality wool, and that's another lecture right there, another hour. But selling lamb, the meat, is a good value-added product, and it's going to depend on where you're at as to what you might be able to get for a lamb on a per-pound basis, depending on the cut. If you sell whole lambs, half lambs, or individual cuts, or all three of those, essentially, which we do, and that's going to be a factor there. And then with the wool, if you're going to really marketing a good clip of wool, something that is nice and clean, you will get more out of it. But you're going to have to put more into it also than if you sell it to a dealer or, in many cases, to the shearer. You're not going to get as much out of it. But by having the wool, a good quality wool, that spinners such as Celia might be interested in, you're going to get more for that than if you don't have the good quality wool.
Yeah, and is there some help? Does UW Extension, for example, can you get some help if you're interested in getting started in something like this?
Yes, as far as knowledge, the extension program with the university in the sheep area. Dr. Dave Thomas is the person to check with there, and he could steer you on. Or if you're in the area sometime or going to be in the area, if you would contact Todd Taylor, the shepherd up at Arlington, he, I'm sure, would be willing to help also.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as far as the future of the sheep industry, I think it's great. I think for somebody who wants to get into something, livestock area, I think it's really
really
does
good.
Have a bright future.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Dave. Thank you very much for calling. Stasia in Augusta is up next. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good morning, Larry. Great topic. Very, very interesting. I wanted to share with listeners that if they're interested in seeing free online videos of spindle spinning, they can log on to ispindle.com.
Ah.
And it's all one word, ispindle.com. And I wanted to warn them, though, that spinning is a dangerous addiction because I learned to spin about 10 years ago, and I now find myself not in the suburbs of Milwaukee, but here in Augusta with 10 heritage breed sheep, 22 goats, and a couple of donkeys. So people are going to want to be careful because once you start, you just keep adding on.
That's a great story. And Celia, you probably agree that it gets to be kind of an addiction, doesn't it?
Yes, I too. We moved to a farm and raised sheep and had Angora goats and mohair rabbits, mohair goats. And for several years, I sheared the alpaca flock at the zoo, which meant I got 20 pounds of alpaca per animal. And I think there were 15 of them. I was swamped.
I find myself spinning anything that floats by, too. I mean, I brush my four dogs, and I'll spin their fiber and every little thing. We have a boar goat who luckily is a cashmere producer, so I'm out brushing her and getting my little 0.6 ounce of fiber from her to spin. So, but it's a great hobby. It's very therapeutic and relaxing, and it's great to hear your guests on the air today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling. And again, that website was ispindle.com.
Another website that's very useful is Interweave Press website, and they are the publishers of the Spinoff magazine, which is what got me going on hand spindles. They have many articles online and also instructions that are in the public domain that can be enlarged for classes or for knitting and spinning guilds. There are several spinning guilds around the state also, which are a great help if you're learning or if you just love to spin with other people.
Thanks again, Stasia. Appreciate it. And Jane in Mineral Point, it's your turn. Hi, Jane.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering what breeds are grown at the A to Z farm or raised, and what he would recommend for a fiber breed.
Huh.
Okay, for a fiber breed, basically most of the wool breeds of sheep would fit in quite well there. Depending a little bit on just what you want to do, the wool will vary. We have a great display that was put together by Mary Wallace, who also does the felting, and that's available at our farm for these next three Sundays. But it's going to depend a lot on the texture, the coarseness, the length of the fibers will be an example of the amount of variables in the wool. And so I guess first thing is to decide just what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And what do we raise? Well, we've been putting out some pretty good wool, and the number of buyers are increasing, so I guess we're doing something right. But
what breeds are you using?
We're using a crossbreeding program as far as our sheep. We do want to provide good quality wool, and then we would also like to provide some meat from that end also. And so what we're using is essentially a cross between the Targhee, which is a wool breed, and the Texel. The Texel, generally people think of it as a meat breed, which it is a very good meat breed. But we have had very good luck, if we want to call it that, with producing good quality wool. The top fleeces from this year were just about all daughters of a Texel ram that we had. Old age got him. But that cross has been working out very good. If we go and bring in some of the other meat breeds that we have, they just don't quite have the length of fiber, the fine fiber, and so forth for the spinning and so forth.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jane. Thank you for calling. Sue in Waupaca has a question. Hi, Sue.
Good afternoon. I have a question for each of your guests.
Sure.
And the first one would involve, where can I find some naturally raised lamb in central Wisconsin?
Yours is naturally raised, but you're not.
Well, ours is naturally raised, but we're in south central part of the state. Just south of Madison is where we are at Oregon. But if you would check with the membership of the Wisconsin Sheep Breeders Co-op, or if you would...
you can go online maybe, huh?
Yes, go online there.
To the Wisconsin
Sheep Breeders Co-op.
Okay.
And, we do have a directory at home, and I could probably narrow you in a little bit more on that. But offhand, I don't... I'd have to do some checking on that. But there's more and more of the natural-produced lamb that is available.
Yeah.
All right. I'll try to find that. My second question, I am a former spinner, and I have a spinning wheel that's been sitting in my basement for 20 years unused.
Oh, too bad.
And it's a traveling spinning wheel in great shape, except that the apparently there's a belt, bright orange belt, that through time has broken. And I would like to perhaps even donate this spinning wheel and all the equipment to some nonprofit, but what can I do with a belt that isn't functioning or doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah. Do you know the manufacturer of the spinning wheel?
Glaskey. It's a Glaskey design. And it was actually built in Unity, Wisconsin, but that was 30 years ago almost.
I don't know that particular design.
Yeah, and one person I checked with said, well, that's no longer available. So what to do with a perfectly wonderful cherry spinning wheel with a belt that doesn't exist?
There are spinning and weaving guilds, and I wish I had thought to bring a list of them that would help you out with passing it on to someone if you wanted to do it that way, and would probably know the brand. The Spinoff magazine may be an asset for you. It's published by Interweave Press, and they do take questions from members. You may find it at your library, but you can certainly go online and find the website. It's a bi-monthly magazine, and you can write them letters or send them emails.
Okay.
Is there an association of spinners, did you say?
There is a state association. They stage an event called Spinoff once a year, and it is at different seasons of the year, depending on what their choice is. In the last couple of years, it's been in association with the Wisconsin Sheep Breeders Co-op event in Jefferson in September, which is like an old-time fair.
Wow.
And lots of spinning and weaving.
What's the name of that association?
The Spinoff?
Under the name of the association, the spinners, the group of spinners?
I don't know more than this. They call it Spinoff. And then the weaving guilds, the spinning guilds tend to just be called spinning guilds of
okay.
Northwest, Southwest.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So maybe there would be something online for
but
that.
But the Wisconsin, the Sheep and Wool Festival that is held the weekend after Labor Day at Jefferson, Wisconsin, would be a good place for those who are looking for something in that line, or educational sheep programs and so forth. If they want fiber, if they don't contact an individual producer at the Sheep and Wool Festival would be a good location for that.
Could I add, for in locating lamb to buy for the freezer, people have called me directly because they called the meat processor who gave them my name. So, if, you know, that's another thing. If you can refer to a list of meat slaughter plants in the areas, they may be able to tell you who raises their sheep.
All right. And Lyric in Blanchardville, it's your turn now. Hi, Lyric.
Hi. I'm so glad you have this program. I have a response to a couple of your prior callers. We'd love her spinning wheel down in Blanchardville. And Blanchardville is right on the Pecatonica River, about 17 miles of Mount Horeb on 78. And we have a little entrepreneurial venture for artists and craftspeople that was sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce, and we've been in business now, all volunteer run, for 2.5 years. And we have 150 artists, and half of them are weavers and spinners.
Wow.
And we have natural and organic lamb for sale there at River Valley Trading Company. So if people want to buy some, they should call 608-523-1888. And several of the women who do spin and weave, and we have free classes and we have paid classes for families, children, and individuals. And the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month from 4 to 8 o'clock, they have a free potluck learning lesson where the spinners, weavers come, share food, and learn from each other. So it's a little town of 800 people, a little farm town that's only... Main Street is 2 blocks long, and they're really trying to help out all the people in the area with natural and organic foods.
That sounds wonderful. And was there a website for that group?
It's the River Valley Trading Company, and if you got to Blanchardville on the website, just Blanchardville, Wisconsin, or you could look up River Valley Trading Company, and it's all volunteers, just really trying to make a difference in this little bit of the town. And downstream from us on the Pecatonica River in Argyle, there is a wonderful fiber mill. And they're about 8 miles south of Blanchardville on 78. And it's a beautiful place to come for families and good canoeing, and I hope people can visit because they're really struggling here.
Thank you, Lyric. Appreciate it very much. Appreciate that call. Blanchardville, Wisconsin, trying to make a difference. We have more callers online, and I'm going to we'll take some more calls here, obviously. I want to go back to Ray for just a minute on the events that are Sundays, the next 3 Sundays, actually, Ray. And they start when does it start in the morning?
It starts the 16th of March here now. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we go until 4 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have reservations, just come on out, enjoy some of the country air, and see what we have here, and get involved, or not maybe shouldn't get involved, but experience some of the educational programs, et cetera, that we do have going on at this time, and then the contact with the animals. Many of the kids have never been on a farm, and so they can be exposed to many things that are going to be something they're going to remember for a long time, just as well as the parents. And,
yeah, it's a lot of fun for the parents, right, too.
And, well, parents and grandparents, too.
Yeah.
We will get grandparents that come out, and they just kind of just relax and reminisce about their childhood, the experiences they had on a farm with the different animals and so forth. So there's something for everybody there.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. And Esther in Mabel, Minnesota, I want to give you a chance. Hi, Esther. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question. What's a good soap to use to wash the wool before you cart it?
This is wool directly from the sheep.
Yeah.
I use Dawn dishwashing detergent.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's an excellent degreaser, and depending on the amount of detergent you use, you still do leave some lanolin in the wool, so you're not stripping it.
Okay.
And it's also rinses out beautifully.
Okay, sounds good. We also use the tags off our wool mm-hmm. that you can't spin. We use that for mulching around our tomatoes and other plants.
Mm-hmm. Very good return to the soil.
Yeah, it grades right back down into it really easy.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Esther.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. Marguerite and Spooner, your turn. Hi, Marguerite.
Hi. Actually, it's strange. I feel a little bit connection here. I used to live in Blanchardville, and I worked with Alice at St. Mary's Hospital.
Oh.
She was a great nursing supervisor. But the reason I'm calling is I'm very interested and wondering if you've worked with dairy sheep, and is there a good breed that's good for both wool and dairy?
All right. Do you know about a breed that's good for both wool and dairy?
Well, they do use a couple of the breeds that are thought of mainly as a wool breed. But if we really want to get into the dairy, the milk production is going to be important, and so the wool production is going to be kind of secondary. And so I would really put major emphasis on the milk production. And okay, at Spooner, you've got a great resource there as far as the Spooner Experimental Station with their dairy sheep operation.
Yeah, you should visit there for sure. There's a lot of friendly people there that are more than willing to help.
Anybody who is interested in getting into the dairy type of sheep, the Spooner operation would be great. Although, well, Dave Thomas here in Madison at the university could be a great resource person also. But Wisconsin has been doing a great job as far as promoting the dairy aspects of sheep production.
Mm-hmm.
One way to have both is to focus on the wool of the first shearing of the ewe that's going to be the dairy ewe. That for spinners, the first shearing of the lamb is the best possible wool. And after the animal goes on and has babies and is lactating, the wool can suffer as the nutrition changes. But the first one will be very pristine, the finest and usually the cleanest.
Breed.
The breed can be any of the larger breeds such as Dorset, and I'm struggling for another name, but there are several breeds of that size and type. And they do some crossbreeding. You only need a small percentage. I don't think it has to even be a quarter of the genetic material from the French breed, that is the dairy sheep. So they do the insemination with this carefully selected semen, and will produce an animal capable of lactating intensively.
All right. Thank you, Marguerite. Appreciate the call very much. Well, here we are out of time. I appreciate all the calls, and again, AZ Farms, actually, AZ is located in near Oregon, Wisconsin. It's just right outside of Madison. Easy place to get to. You could go online to a-zfarm.com. Is that right?
Yes.
What road are you off, by the way?
We are on Schuster Road, right off on Highway 14. Easy to get at.
It's really easy to get at. It's right where Highway 14, you can get right off and right onto Schuster Road.
Right, 1 mile away.
And go on out and watch the lambing, and you can purchase some products there. And
yes, we will sell the lamb, grass-raised lamb. We do have some individual cuts, and also we take orders as far as for the fall season. And then we do have some of the fleece available and also yarn.
And that's March 16th, 23rd, and 30th from 10 in the morning. $3.50. Kids 2 and under are free. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.